You're listening to the Power Gold Podcast, bringing you the latest tips, tricks, and strategies for making gold in World of Warcraft. I'm your host, Jim Youngkin. And now, on with the show. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Power Gold Podcast, episode number 29. It is Monday, the 13th of February, 2012. I'm your host, Jim Youngkin, along with my guest, Keel Hall.
Hello.
And let's just go ahead and jump right into it. First off, Keel Hall, why don't you let people know how they can get a hold of you, find you, and all that kind of good stuff?
Sure. These days, it's best to catch me on Twitter at D.E. Azeroth. You can also keep track of the transmogrification sales that I have going on in the background at themogfather.tumblr.com. It's just a rolling stream from my remote auction house. And you can also check out my blog, which is a transmogrification resource from a design standpoint at deazeroth.com, and that's Disenchanting Azeroth.
Awesome, awesome. And I am Jim Youngkin from Power Word Gold. You can find us at powerwordgold.net. We are on Twitter at Power Word Gold and facebook.com/powerwordgold, as well as Google Plus and Reddit and a lot of other things you can find on our site in the little follow us bar there. Also, we just started streaming this last weekend. We set up a Twitch TV account, so that is twitch.tv/JimYounkin, JimYounkin. And we'll be doing more live streams as time goes on, and they're a lot of fun. So let's go ahead and jump right into the podcast. Today we're going to be talking a lot about transmogrification items, so let's go ahead and do that.
Big surprise, right?
Big surprise. All right, well, we got you here tonight. We got a few topics that we wanted to talk about, and I'm just going to go ahead and jump right into those. First off, there's a lot of stuff that's been happening ever since the last time we talked. and actually, to even go back further, man, it's been a long time since we first talked about transmog in general. But we covered that on episode 24. So me and Fade have talked about it a little bit in 27 and 28. But I just wanted to ask you or have you talk a little bit about kind of this idea that a lot of people, I think, pick up on from what they see about you, which is what the articles, which you'll talk about, is that, oh my gosh, this guy's made a million gold off of transmogrification. All I need to do is figure out his secret and I'll be able to make a million gold. So do you want
to
talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I know. It's like, wee, transmog. Keel did it. I can do it too. I certainly don't help all that much on Twitter. I'm like, look, guys, I just made another 10 grand over here. Look, guys.
I'm a pro. We were like, me and Faith.
Everyone's like, wow, I'm going to do exactly what he's doing. And
Faith and I were talking about it.
Doesn't help is my sort of passion and exuberance for...
And we're like, man, Keel's kind of a dick.
Whatever. People are like, oh, it's not working on my server. And, you know, my thing has always been to prove that there is a market for transmogrification. So when people respond to me on Twitter, or at least where they were for a while there, and they're like, oh, it wasn't working on my server, I'd be like, oh, you're full of crap. Come on, give me your realm. DM me your realm. I'm going to go find out what's going on. But it was
you're not the only person I know who likes to prove people wrong. But,
but it was always in the spirit of wanting to show that with the right items at the right prices, there is a market for transmogrification. But what I didn't realize, and I have a better grasp on now, is what people were really saying was not that it wasn't working on their server, but that they weren't making a million gold. So that's really started to sink in over the last few weeks, is that, I've been kind of viewing this in a bit of a vacuum.
Plus a lot of people, unfortunately, are just really don't have... the nice way to put it is that they don't have the stamina or patience, and the not nice way to put it is that they're lazy.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, I'm that guy who's out on in the boat in the very deep water, you know, trying to see where America is. You know, I'm paddling around doing things that I'm sure nobody else is doing, transferring inventories from server to server, testing different things out, you know, creating alts on random realms, small, medium, and large, and you know, borrowing gold from people just to test different things, tracking you know, which races on various factions are buying and how often. And there's just so much that I'm doing that is taking things to a much deeper level than the average person is. And so when somebody says it's not working on my server, I'm going, you've got to be kidding me. Of course it should work on your server. But now I know what they're saying is I'm not making a million gold. And it's sort of like, oh, okay. I understand now. And I can appreciate that. So here is your public service announcement, folks. This is not about making a million gold. You know, I got very lucky and was very fortunate to have a very relevant inventory. I had no competition, and just hit it at the right place at the right time with the right stuff and
on the right server.
On the right server with Proudmoore, and really kind of blew it up. And the other thing that kind of gets lost, or at least it got lost in the fray of first the WoW Insider article, although Fox Van Allen hit it right on the nose. I mean, mm-hmm. he actually covered the fact that I didn't make a million gold on Proudmoore, which is something that has really gotten lost in the fray. I didn't make it all in one server. I made it on a total of probably like four key servers. And once it hit PC Gamer and Wired and some of these other locations, that whole concept of multiple servers and it was all about giving it away got lost. And everyone just said, Keelhaul, Proudmoore, 1 million. And it's been very hard to diffuse that over time. But I think with some stuff that's coming up with PC Gamer in March, we might be able to set that stage, set that ship up in the right direction. So no, my thing all along has been that there's a market for this, and where I'm at now is, you know, my methods work for me. I continue to do the things that I really kind of preached for some time. For the most part, I mean, I've had to modify a lot of my own strategy over the last 4 weeks or so, because, you know, I opened my diary to everyone on this topic, and now everyone's doing it. And so I have tons of competition, and I'm good at the fashion piece, and I'm good at the promotion piece, and, you know, the iPhone. But when it comes to classic auctioneering skills, I'm getting burned out there. I'm getting absolutely killed. People are like, you know, jumping onto various forums, or they're sending me in-game mails, and they're like, Keelhaul, hey, I'm your competition, man. Isn't this great? And I'm like, hey, how are you?
Fade was mentioning that she did her Gold Rush video about this frost oil and this frost recipe, frost guard recipe or whatever it was, and how now she's got competition on her server. It's the curse. It's the curse of the educator. I've experienced it as well, but to me, at least for me, I do this to get the knowledge out there. So, and I think you do it for the same reason.
Yeah, I really do. And what's been interesting is and we'll get into it a little bit later, is it's actually prompted me to seek out some new challenges. As far as, you know, if you're in a situation where the competition has gotten really fierce, you know, how do you manage that, and how do you navigate some of those challenges? And I continue to maintain that I think, you know, there's going to be a curve to this whole process, and we talked about it a long time ago, right, in terms of adoption of the innovators and the early adopters. And based on our discussion earlier, it really sounds like your server is starting to move into the early majority, where it's really starting to tip and become more mainstream. Well, I'm on the back end on Proudmoore now, where I think we're actually moving into more of the late majority, and it's just competition is really, really fierce. So, but anyway, so before we go much further, just want to reiterate that point that, you know, my methods work for me. If it's not working on your server, I can completely understand. If there's one thing that I've learned in jumping from realm to realm and testing all these different realm types and realm sizes, because you got to keep in mind, I've been on over 25 different realms now testing this since 4.3 was released, and checking this out, helping people out, or just doing things on my own. And I will tell you, your realm size, your realm type, and your faction can make or break your success. And it's dynamic to every single realm and every faction. One minute you're thinking Core doesn't sell, and then you get somebody like Revan Geek, who I retweeted today, saying, hey, he's saying his best server is RP Horde. Which classic logic that I would have been speaking, you know, 6 weeks ago, I would have said that would have been the worst. And yet there are people that have found a way to make it work. And that's really the inspiring thing, right? As with any kind of strategy, is you put the blueprint out there, but when people take it and they make it work for themselves on their own realm, that's the idea. Like, mm-hmm. that's what you yeah. want to do. Just because my strategy doesn't work for you doesn't mean, you know, don't bang your head against the wall. Stop hitting it, you know, back up and start to think about it logically.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It works for me, and I continue to do that. But if it doesn't work for you, find a way around it, or, you know.
Yeah, one of my greatest frustrations and one of my greatest joys of teaching people how to make gold is trying to move them past the wanting to be spoon-fed every little detail to I mean, I don't say that in a mean way, but I mean, a lot of times when you're getting started, you're just absorbing as much as you can. You want to learn everything, and I was the same way. But eventually, you got to start taking what you read and applying it and testing it out yourself and modifying, more importantly, modifying it. I mean, it's like all these different gold making techniques are like recipes in a recipe folder. Like, I can give you my recipe, and you might take it home and you might do it, and you might like, you're like, well, I don't really like this part about it. But the great thing about recipes is you can just take your little pencil and mark it and say, okay, I want to change that. And you can try it again and then keep adjusting it. So we're all sharing recipes here, but, you know, a lot of times you take a recipe and you tweak it to your own situation or your own taste.
Right.
So 1 million gold is not the keel haul guarantee.
No, the keel haul guarantee is that fashion is desirable, personalization and customization is mm-hmm. hot, and there will be some sort of let me rephrase that. For me, I believe that I can make something happen with that no matter where I end up. Mm-hmm. And I've been successful to varying degrees in mm-hmm. doing that. And if you would like to attempt what I'm attempting in doing, more power to you, but follow at your own risk.
Yeah.
And hopefully take what I'm doing and try to find a way to make it your own.
Well, I think, you know, you've given the community so much, but I think that for me, the most important thing that you were able to share, and this is with me and you having, you know, worked together, you know, for a long time on this, is you were able to go through the items and basically pick out the items, and more importantly, first pick the items that you thought were going to be good sellers, secondly, actually test if they were going to be good sellers. And I think the basis of what almost anybody's lists that you might find out there now, I think all kind of their DNA is all tied back to, you know, you and also and or other people in the community, like WoW Roleplay Gear, or there was a great forum thread about Armorkinis, you know, people out there that are right. that have been looking at what items might be desirable visually. But for me, your initial lists have been the basis for everything I've done, and more importantly, I've been able to take them and use them over time to see and start, you know, I'm starting to learn the sets. I'm starting to learn what sets are named and what sets look like. I'm, you know, using Mogget on a daily basis. I'm able to, you know, okay, now why do these sets sell? And, you know. Right.
That's the most important part is, you know, my freshman year algebra teacher, I'll never forget this, you know, running through a number of equations. And he turned to me one day and he said, don't just accept that this is the outcome. You should be asking why. Don't take all this stuff at face value that I'm giving you as you're filling out these equations. Think about why these things are working. And that's the key thing is, mm-hmm. You know, and I thought one neat exercise that we could do is just to sweep through some of these, mm-hmm. Some of these tiers, just maybe on the three that I posted over on the hatchery, and just talk about maybe
sure.
like the top
yeah.
four or five tiers or so, and talk a little bit about each one of those sets and just give you a little bit of insight into what I've seen across a number of realms in terms of, you know, what's going on with that set, how well is it selling, you know, how fast is it selling, you know, what's going on with the look, and why is it so desirable? Why mm-hmm. have we placed it where it actually is in terms of those tiers?
I would love that. Well, I mean, I like I said, I sell these sets on a day. I try to sell. I should say, I attempt to sell these sets a lot. And all my lists are based off of your initial lists. Although I have been taking what I've been seeing in your sets and then going out and basically looking at what other sets are out there and pulling like maybe a few things in. So I'm starting to augment my own sets. So, all right. Yeah. So, what do you want to start with?
Let's start with plate. That's really right. Kind of the hallmark of where everything has been so strong for me. And we can kind of just jump into this. So plate, and I'll talk a little bit with each one of these as far as you know, how many of these things am I selling? Let's see, how many realms am I on now? So I'm on 6 different realms selling this transmog gear. Plate probably makes up 50% mm-hmm. of what I sell. So I probably have 50% plate, 48% mail, and 2% cloth. And that might be the one thing that really shocks people, is like, oh my God, only 2% cloth. But he made a giant post about, well, what's going to be hot for cloth? Well, I did that because everyone was asking what's going to be hot for cloth. Doesn't mean I sell it.
I think unfortunately, a lot of people, including myself, took your post. And like I talked about this on episode 28, but essentially cloth with plate, hands, feet, legs, and chest, and maybe belt are all integral parts of the outfit. So, looking right. for all exalted set, even if you accidentally buy the bracers and try to sell them, which I don't usually do, you know, you're doing good with 5 pieces, whereas with cloth, good. 1 piece, the robe is basically the only important piece, and the rest isn't.
Yeah, like hands, one thing I forgot to mention earlier, if you want to just track, if you want to just see, like literally what I'm selling on a daily basis, I'm posting all of my transmog sales to Tumblr. So if you go to themogfather.tumblr.com, you can see daily exactly where I'm at, which realm I'm on, which faction, and the gold that's accruing day to day. I only sell transmogrification items, and you can see the items that I'm selling, and you'll see cloth. But you'll see ropes. Mm-hmm. You won't see anything else. Mm-hmm. And it's not to say that I've not sold belts and gloves and boots and things like that in the past. I have. And that's what gave me the insight to develop the tier structure for cloth in particular mm-hmm. that I did. But I had to make a choice at one point because I was managing auctioneers on 6 servers. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, this is way too much. And some of these items in terms of the shoulders or the boots or the gloves, I was seeing them too often. They weren't selling fast enough. And I thought, you know, this just goes back to my initial hypothesis that the only thing you should be targeting is robes. Mm-hmm. So I started doing that, sort of listening to my own advice. I sold off every other accessory except for the robe. Uh-huh. And even then, I keep some robes. But honestly, I do a search for robes maybe once every 3 days mm-hmm. when I'm bored. I really don't accrue any new robes. I've got plenty of vitals and hibernals and barbaric cloth and mm-hmm. imperial red and whatever. They're all sort of sitting there, and they sell, and they go for, you know, between $750 and $1,000. But mm-hmm. It's not something I chase. But anyway, we can get to cloth in a minute. So plate. So tier one, the Glorious, Lofty, and the Vanguard. So the reason I have these up here is they're all the same model. There's just different colors to these, and the Glorious is your The glorious plate set is your MVP of transmogrification since 4.3. Mm-hmm. That is hands down. It's been my bestseller.
This is the Princess Leia metal kini kind of exactly. look, right?
This is the one that gave rise to the concept of the armor kini, the mm-hmm. armored bikini. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it does when you move it on to a female model. This is also why we've kind of said again and again, or at least I've been saying it on Twitter, that when you make an auctioneering tune to track various transmog items and you want to see them displayed in your character, you really want to use a female model.
Yes.
If you're on Horde, you want to use a Blood Elf. If you're on Alliance, you want to use a Night Elf, a Human, or a Draenei. Mm-hmm. Those are the models that really show off the differences in gear, like the Glorious breastplate, Lofty breastplate, and Vanguard breastplate. If you see it on a male model, you're going to see yeah. something that just looks really bad. It doesn't look bad. It
looks completely different. It changes the geometry of the model completely.
It changes the geometry of the model. It skins the character model quite differently mm-hmm. from male to female. The yeah. color scheme stays the same, mm-hmm. but what happens when you go from the male model, which it covers the torso completely, mm-hmm. and you go to the female model, is the female, it strips it all the way down to the bikini top. Mm-hmm. But what's so intriguing about that, and 99% of the people out there are going to say, it's the bikini top. It's, you know, this is the somebody posted on the Tichondrius forums tonight that they wanted the upcoming transmog contest there that I'm doing with WoW Roleplay Gear. They wanted one of the ratings to be like highest skank factor or something like that. And it was just like, you know, it's that Jeff Works Foxworthy comment where, you know, the whole redneck thing, we can't keep the most ignorant among us out from in front of the television set, out in front of the news where the camera's catching them. It's the same thing with this. Like, there's a lot of really cool stuff that's going on in these sets in terms of the female model and what's mm-hmm. going on with that. That armor that's in the shape of, yeah, it's a bikini. Mm-hmm. But what's so cool about it is the exact opposite ends of the spectrum to everything that is currently being worn in in-game content for plate.
Yeah.
That's the big cool factor of these things is what we have now, you're so covered and loaded with spikes and details and mm-hmm. chains and what do we've got now with the
dragons,
latest tier stuff?
Items
like,
and
yeah, dragon head things and giant spikes and things are on fire and and you know, you've got clockwork things if you're a mage. Well, mm-hmm. the opposite end of that is this tier one set for plate, the Glorious, the Lofty, and the Vanguard. It mm-hmm. strips it all the way down to this, you know, highly differentiated set of armor that mm-hmm. it's so revealing. But what's so cool about it is it's so different. It's the most unique breastplate and chest design mm-hmm. in the game, in my opinion, compared to what we have today.
And that's why that's what I really ran into as I tried valiantly to see if we had anything in the leather sets, because I did a whole long post. I think it's probably the longest post I've ever made on it on Howard Gold about this, but I really just wanted to find out. And what I ended up finding out was I think the main problem with leather for me was that there was nothing you could get from green leather items that you couldn't get anywhere else. And that's the difference that you were just talking about with the, and even robes, you were saying, I think robes are kind of in that same category. Like, there's lots of really awesome looking robes and tier sets. But with some male sets, and the plate sets, it's an item it's a look you can't get anywhere else, like you said.
Yeah. That's what's so appealing about plate and mail. And that's why that makes up like 98% of my inventory these days. That's why it's, in my opinion, is why it's selling so well. It's because it's so different. You're going to have plenty of people talking about the revealing factor on some of these female models, but I think the underlying reason behind it from a design standpoint, again, from an aesthetic standpoint, is because it's so different. Mm-hmm. So that's tier one. That's why that's going so well. Those pieces continue to sell for me at around 5,000 gold per piece, and then the breastplate for about anywhere between 7,500 and 10,000. And those things are staples across most of the servers that I've been on. Tier two, the Exalted, Saltstone, and Tyrant. Now, the Saltstone, the Tyrant, they actually share a model with the Jade set. But I've got the Jade actually down a tier in tier three. And the reason that I dropped the Jade down there is because it's this lime green color, which, again, from a design standpoint, my hunch is that the lime green is going to have less of an appeal mm-hmm. than the Saltstone and the Tyrant. And I've seen that over time where I'm able to still pull 5,000 for the chest and the legs for the Saltstone and the Tyrant, but not able to do that so much for the Jade. The one thing that the Jade has going for it, though, is it's actually, I think it's more rare. I've been watching these things for a long time on all these realms and different factions, and I see the Saltstone and the Tyrant chest and legs pop up regularly. I don't see the Jade legs and chest pop up regularly enough. That said, I've had those legs and chest at like 7,500 and 10,000 mm-hmm. trying to pull the same amount that I do for the tier ones. I can't seem to do it, but 5,000 does seem to be the moving number for those. Mm-hmm. So Exalted, Saltstone, Tyrant. Exalted, you know, if I was to actually do these tiers again, I've actually got Exalted in its own tier now. So I go Glorious, Lofty, Vanguard, tier one. Tier two, I go Exalted. And mm-hmm. Exalted pieces, I do 5,000 for pretty much everything, but the legs and the chest, well, the legs and the chest, I normally do about 7,500. I've actually got a chest on the Arthas realm that I'm not dropping below 20,000.
Yeah.
Because I, again, I just have a hunch, and I'm just going to wait it out.
I've seen people selling tier one items, chests and legs, for 35,000 on one of my RP servers, so it's not out of the realm. You know, somebody obviously out there feels that they're worth that much, and I think this talks to a little bit about the maturity of a realm where I can try to sell transmog items for, what, a month or a month and a half since 4.3, never got any mails, and yet in this last week I've gotten three or four mails from people saying, I see you're selling, I see you're selling exalted boots for 2,000. They're never going to sell. I want to buy them for 250. So I've started getting mails from people like trying, if somebody takes the time to write a mail to you, go and write down your name and write a mail to you, you know that they really want the item.
They're really frustrated. Mm-hmm. I get that a lot. Or, you know, and after a while, the animosity starts to come out in the mail a little bit, where they're sort of like, come on, dude, it's been up there for 6 weeks. And, you know, the easiest way that I navigate that is I just tell people, actually, I've got a few of these items, and those, the ones that you saw, they've sold, and I've just cycled new ones onto the auction house. And it shuts them up. They just kind of walk away. And well, in some cases, that's the truth. In some cases, it's not.
Well, there was one guy that wrote me a second email. It was pretty great. He's like, I want these for $250. And then he wrote me a second email like a few days later. He's like, if you haven't sold those boots, I'll pay $290. Like, so, you know, I'm like, you know what? Okay, fine. Like, you put in your effort, I'll sell these to you for, you know. But there was a funny story, not to derail it too much, but there's a funny story. I was, Fade, like, sent me a Twitter, and she's like, there's somebody asking for Karanta, who's my warrior on Argent Dawn. She's like, they're saying that you're trying to sell this this mace for, you know, for 300 gold, and they want to buy it for 200. And she just randomly saw that on Trade Chat, and I hopped on the server, and I'm like, oh, I heard, you know. He's like, hey, so you're selling this item for 300. I want to buy it for 200. I look at him, he's an 85. I'm like, okay, come on, dude. All right. It was like a silver and blue mace that you can get in the Badlands, like out of the chest that you can get when you kill the rares and Blasted Lands. And so it was like, I'm like, really, you're going to haggle me about 100 gold? Like, you want to pay 200 and I'm selling for 300? So I'm like, I like talked him, finally ended up selling it to him for, I'm like, 250. And he's like, yeah, he's like, I'll pay 235. I'm like, fine. Like, come on. Like, seriously, you're 85 and you're complaining about 100 gold. So it is funny to hear, you know, and me and Fade both knew, we're both like, we know that the reason you want to buy this is because you want to transmog for it. So obviously you see the value of this item. However, you know, so.
Yeah. I mean, I get hit with a lot of requests, and, my general rule, just because of the way that I do things, and again, the reason why I'm making this gold is to turn it around and is to give it back and during mm-hmm. these events and things. My general rule is, if somebody can prove to me that they're actually going to transmog it, I don't sell it to them. I just give it to them. I mean, I've done that with a number of people on Realms, where they'll send me a post and they'll say, you know, hey, can I give you 200 for this, or can I give you a couple of these chess pieces in trade? And I'll go take a look at what their character is, and if I see that it is a gap, mm-hmm. I'll just mail them the piece and I'll just say, hey, enjoy. and it's nice, you know, you get really good responses from people. And I've had one person now, I've had a couple people from different realms jump on and say, you know, do you have something here? If mm-hmm. so, I'll transfer. And in one case, I actually was able to locate, somebody was looking for the Steadfast mail set, which is, that is a very, very difficult set to find, at least for me, to the mm-hmm. point where I've actually bumped it up into my tier one of mail. Mm-hmm. It's my top of the line mail now, mm-hmm. Because it's so hard to find, mm-hmm. that somebody actually transferred a character to Lightbringer, where I think I had like the gloves. Someone was selling the legs for 5,000, and then our friend, I don't even know. Are we allowed to say
no,
who it is?
No.
We're not? Okay.
Let's just say that there's a seller on Lightbringer that sells Moggy items that we've seen sell Mog items.
who is an acquaintance of sorts.
A friendly competitor.
A friendly competitor. And I messaged this friendly competitor and I said, hey, in the spirit of what I'm trying to do, can you cut me a deal on this thing and I'll buy it from you? And I went and I knew the character was the player was going to be transferring to the realm. I went, I bought the legs for him. I paid 5,000 for the legs. I don't know who got the 5,000 with so many from Power Word Gold, a Power Word Guild on Lightbringer probably. Hopefully, went to the guild, great. But I paid 5,000 for that. And then I grabbed the gloves and then I, you know, messaged my competitor and I just said, you know, hey, what would you give, you know, what would I need to get the breastplate, the feet, the bracers, that the helm, the shoulders and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, what are you doing? And I told them and I said, I just want to give it to the player because that's pretty damn cool that they're going to transfer to come and get it. And what was awesome was they said, don't worry about it. I'll mail it directly to you. You can have it. Go ahead and give it to the player. So it was awesome. It was really cool to be able to have the player arrive on Lightbringer. You know, they arrived with, you know, probably upwards of 10,000 gold or so. Mm-hmm. To be able to pay for all the items because that's how much I said it was going to cost. And they arrived and I just said, here you go, you know, enjoy.
And like that.
So it's cool.
It's gone. I got my first mail this week also asking for item request. I was pretty excited. I was like, they're like, I see that you're selling some of these items. Do you happen to have the exalted gloves or whatever? And I was like, oh my gosh. So I went and looked through my items, you know, so I wrote them back. I said, you know, if I find it, you know, maybe I'll pull a Keel Haul, and if I find it, I'll just mail it back to them and be like, here you go.
There's a really interesting thing that happens when you're kind of the leader on the auction house in terms of these items. And again, this is my opinion. When you're kind of controlling what goes in the window of the shop, mm-hmm. That's the name that people start to associate as the store owner. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think I've gotten so many of these in-game mails to say, hey, as you're going through and finding these things, when you get to a pair of Dark Crest gloves, can you hold them for me? You know, when you find these War Leader boots, you know, let me know. Do you have this? Do you have that? All of the same things that you're kind of referring to, mm-hmm. and it turns you into a bit of a connector, mm-hmm. Which is a good thing. And I always post to people, you know, hey, I'm rarely in game. It's awesome that you caught me now in a whisper, or I got your message via mail. Hit me up on Twitter. You know, mm-hmm. I'm at DE Azeroth. Go find me on Twitter. And the cool thing that happens with that is it starts to make more connections outside of the game, and then it brings more people into the community. And what I've also found is it's actually brought some new readers back to Disenchanting Azeroth on my blog, where I'm starting to kind of wake things up again. And it's an interesting way to actually bring readers from inside the game out into these other networks, which is pretty cool.
I like it.
So anyway, all right. So I'll kind of spin through the rest of these things. I won't take quite so long on them. Certainly the Glorious, Lofty, and Vanguard. It's like, ooh, let's talk about those. So that's my tier one. My tier two, I'll walk you through my tiers as I have them right now. So my tier two is Exalted, and the reason I have it as the Exalted, it's the same model as the Brutish and the War Leader. Brutish does not sell. Oh my god, what a pain in the ass. That set does not sell. I've dropped that way down I think like less than 750 for some of the key pieces. I'm no longer trying to post it for like 3,000, 4,000 gold. I just can't get the damn thing to sell. But the Exalted is big. The Exalted is something that I personally think is one of the most elegant plate designs available in the game, and I think what WoW Roleplay Gear did in terms of matching a set of shoulders to it from Black Temple is perfect. That set just looks so good, and it looks so good on both male and female characters that there is a niche group of players out there like myself that is willing to pay a lot of money for that. I remember MMO Simka from MMO Champion was tweeting me a while back and just said, if this thing was on my server, if the whole set was on my server, I'd pay upwards of 70,000 gold to be able to get the whole set. And that wasn't a shock to me because I was thinking of paying close to $50,000 myself to be able to get it. And I've got in my hands now on Arthas, I've got one Exalted Harness. I've got one chess piece. And I have it at 20,000 gold because that's the number I would be comfortable losing it to for. And in the meantime, I'm looking for some of the other pieces. I've got an entire set, but it's spread across so many different servers. I've got like 9 pairs of Exalted legs and only one harness. It's killing me. But anyway, so Exalted is in my tier 2, and that's why. My tier 3 is now Saltstone, Tyrant, and the Jade. I actually did move the Jade up, and I keep it equal to Saltstone and Tyrant. And the reason why the Saltstone, Tyrant, and Jade are so popular is similar to the Glorious Lothian Vanguard. It's quite slimming. It's quite revealing. But from my standpoint, it's highly differentiated from the current gear. And it's got kind of a unique angular design to it. The Tyrant in particular has some really nice coloring to it, and I, you know, if I had more time, I would probably dive in and try to maybe get my paladin into a set of tyrants. But those traditionally will sell small components around 1500 to 2500, and then the chest and the legs easy, and they're an easy 5000 for me, hands down. In fact, One of the things I did over the weekend, things were just a little slow, and I was like, oh, you know, I kind of miss just running out onto a random realm and seeing if I can, you know, score 5,000 in a few days. And it had been a long time since I had done it, so I jumped onto Rune Totem, which was I think like a low pop or medium pop server. I wanted to pick something that wasn't high pop and quite so easy, and I went and logged in, and somebody had posted a tyrant's chest piece and a tyrant's leggings, both at 5 gold a piece. And I was like, and I thought of you when you were doing your video, you know, and you came across the saltstone leggings, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, my face in that video is pretty funny because that's a real reaction right there.
I'm like, oh, God, somebody's, there's 10 gold and I could have 4,000, you know, 10,000 at my prices worth of gear. So I posted a trade chat. I said, hey, if anybody has 25 gold, I'll turn it into 100 by tomorrow. And, you know, most people were like, what? Loser? No, it's a scam. And then one person whispered me, as they always do, and sure, I'll do it. And I got the 25 gold, bought the two items, posted them both at 2,000 apiece because I didn't know what the realm could take in terms of pricing. And the legs sold overnight. So I was like, oh, okay. Here's your return investment. You know, picked up a few more pieces, and what's so funny is, so that was over the weekend, and then today sold a few more pieces and broke 5,000, and so it was neat. I logged in.
I
gave it all back.
I'm done here. Delete this.
I know, exactly. I was like, well, I have no characters here.
Send 5,000 gold to my initial contact.
Yeah, sent it back. You know, I sent them a couple of other pieces that I had, and because I was just like, well, that was fun. I don't have time to do that anymore, and you're taking up space in my iPhone right now because I can only I can barely manage 6. I can't manage 7, so I killed him off.
Yeah, I finally paid for the I found out that you can pay for the remote auction house with PayPal, so there's some more of your guys' hard-earned PayPal money going to work.
Nice.
So I got the remote auction house, and I started, and there was a few key things about the remote auction house that are so fantastic. When me and Fade were talking in the podcast about how some of the failings of like Trade Skill Master and stuff, one of the complaints she had was that it didn't strip off suffixes to kind of compare, like, do I have how many, you know, are there other Bloodfist gauntlets or whatever. It won't on the auction house on the game. It will just basically, if it's not the exact same suffix, it won't see that there's another pair. But I noticed on the remote auction house, when you search for Bloodfist Gauntlets, or when you have, like, you're going to post Bloodfist Gauntlets of the Bear or whatever, it will actually show you all the other suffixes all together in one.
Yeah, it does manage it. Which and is it's funny because that actually came up in a forum post on the Consortium forums just within the last few days. Twitchy had posted something to me on Twitter saying, hey, you know, go over to the Consortium forums and support getting Trade Skill Master to account for these things. And so I went over and I took a look and realized that I've never even actually registered over there before. So I registered and I created a character, and that kind of came up. Just the fact that that TSM can't do it, but the iPhone remote auction house can.
Yep.
And somebody said something along the lines of, well, you can't compare a desktop and the speed of TSM to the iPhone. And it was like, no, that's not the point. The point that's really interesting is for boutique items, things that you're only really concerned with that might be anywhere from 10 to 20 items that are sitting at 5,000 a piece, it absolutely is imperative for me to be able to have access to that iPhone, because a few times a day when I'm nowhere near my desktop, I can very quickly, you know, jump in, grab the tyrant's chest piece of the bear or whatever. And if there's a few other tyrant pieces, like say Proudmoore, where there's consistently a number of those tier one, tier two, tier three items for sale, it's really, really important for me and so much easier to be able to post that via iPhone and have it immediately recognize the other suffixes. And not only that, automatically price my item at 1 cent lower than the current bid. And then the other thing that's cool about it is once I do that on one realm, because I'm on six realms, I can toggle over to another realm and have something else reposted at, you know, and undercut somebody on a bigger item like that within seconds. Whereas on a desktop, I have to log out, I have to wait, I have to switch over to another realm, you know, get into the character, get over to the auction house. It takes, you know, it doesn't take forever, but for the speed of TSM, in terms of an inventory, hands down, TSM is going to win. In terms of boutique items, for me, you know, that 10 to 20 that are really going to be my money makers, I'm going to take the iPhone. I'm going to take it hands down. I'm going to take it every day. Well, until TSM comes up with that suffix fix.
I haven't read Twitchy's post. He like asked me to read it like 2 times, so I need to go. But the thing is that, you know, it needs like a toggle that says like ignore suffixes while comparing items or something along those lines. Because that's posting on the iPhone, I was just like, oh wow, Dark Crest Gauntlets. I can see that there's, because you can not only see, you know. The other thing I noticed about the iPhone that I love is that I could flip through all, it might take me about 10 minutes or so to do it, but I can actually flip through all my major auctioneers within and see like if any of them have made big sales. And the ones that haven't made big sales, I can just not log on to that day. So I've actually been going through before I log into the game and going through and checking to see, you know, if there's items. I have done searches as well, like when I'm just, you know, in bed or whatever, and I'm, you know, I'm hanging out with my wife or whatever, and I don't want to have to go get on the computer. It's kind of fun to play around with as well.
Yeah, no, it's great.
All right, so do you want to move on to mail or?
Let me just hit a couple more things on plate,
okay,
real quick. My tier 4 now is Hyperion, Bloodscale, and Warleader. Bloodscale is one of the more sustainable plate items these days. It hits the auction house regularly. It sells regularly for me.
I think that it might be one of the sets that drops in Ramparts, which is one of the key things I've noticed about, as I've been, me and my wife have been running 70 characters lately, and, well, sorry, late 50, early 60 characters, and a lot of these kind of items were dropping in Ramparts, and Ramparts is a very common dungeon that's done all the time by Death Knights and people just getting into the area, so I think that's why we might see more of those, some of those. It might not be that exact set, but I think some of the Mogging sets. That's me and my wife actually were like, we were doing it because she started doing it as well. She started selling Mogging items as well. And we'll be like, quiet. We'll be like in a dungeon and something will drop. And I'm like, ooh, Bloodscale. Oh, I hope I win it because I want to sell it on the auction house. So.
Yeah, Bloodscale is great because it's one of the, I think it's the only pink BOE plate set. Male has a sort of a dull pink that's the Brigade. But anyway, the Bloodscale is really, it really surprises me. It continues to do well. It continues to sit at 2,200 to 2,500 for me. My tier 5 is Enchanted Thorium, Alabaster, and Templar. I've moved up Alabaster and Templar. They've just been selling really well for me. Enchanted Thorium, since the release of 4.3, I've only seen one piece in all of the realms that I have covered. I've only seen one piece of Enchanted Thorium. And I realize why that is. I realize it's a crafted item. I realize that it's rare. I realize that it's no longer in the game and few people might have it. Regardless, if it was really important to me, I know a couple of folks on Proudmoore that I could just go and have it made because I had it made for my warrior. But it still just kind of baffles me that I'm like, oh, man, I really think there's some opportunity there, but you know, maybe everyone's doing what I'm doing and just saying I just don't have time for that. that kind of is it for what I look for on Proudmoore right now. I don't scan for any more plate below what I just said on Proudmoore. It's gotten that crowded.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mess with Commander. I don't mess with Imbued Plate. I don't mess with Brutish anymore. I can't compete with the number of pieces that are flooding the auction house. Bloodfist, Darkcrest, Boulderfist, Warmall, Warlord's mm-hmm. Iron Plate, Chromite, Emerald Revenant. There's too many pieces on the auction house mm-hmm. of Proudmoore, so I don't deal in those anymore. On Earthen Ring and Tichondrius and some of these other servers, I do take it into Commander, Overlord, and Imbued Plate. Maybe a little bit of Darkcrest and Boulderfist, but I don't deal in anything that I guess would be considered my former, what, like...
3,500, 300, 350.
I
think Twitchy cut it off at about...
I don't sell any of those anymore.
Twitchy cut it off at about 750 when he did his, like, TSM, or sorry, auctionator list for this, so that's basically what I run as well. So.
Yeah, I mean, but the point is, like, if I was on one server, would I continue to sell... The bulk of them, looking at the Hatchery post, no, I probably would stop at tier 8.
Mm-hmm.
But if I was on one server, I would probably still push for tier 8. But again, that's me. It's because mm-hmm. I know, either I know what I'm doing or I mm-hmm. have good luck or whatever, but... I would probably still continue to go out to tier 8, but for the most part, the reason why I don't chase most of those lower tiers, I don't have time because I'm doing this across six realms.
All right, so mail. This is the one I'm excited about because you kind of gave your breakdown of what you sell percentage-wise, and I would say over my sales, I actually probably sell about 60% of my sales are all mail, and then 40% are plate. So
yeah, you know, and I might actually... You know, mail might actually be it. No, plate is probably still high for me, but I would say the most, my mail list, if you were to look at like my TSM or, you know, my little Word doc here where I've got my tiers, the mail list is totally inverted from where it is on the Hatchery. So like on Hatchery, it's Glimmering, Battleforge, Chief Brigadier, Blood Knights, mm-hmm. you know, Grunts, Captain Combat. A lot of those have slotted down. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go off... my new list.
Exclusive.
Yeah, so the mail has actually moved around quite a bit. And again, folks, these are this is my methodology. These are my prices, my tiers. It may not work for you.
Mm-hmm. Jim gets his pen ready.
But it has worked for me. So my new tier one for mail is the Steadfast and the Sentry set. And the reason that both of these are up here is because both of them, they share the same model. Steadfast is purple. Sentry is more of like a pale vanilla color. It's doing some of the things similar to what we have found in plate and mail gear in terms of being very structural, very revealing. But it's got some really cool ornate beaded details on the chest piece in particular that nothing else has. So it's got a really... You know, people who are more into 3D textures and things like that, they would not call it a beautiful piece. But I think, again, you have to evaluate these things from sort of 6 feet away and in a crowd in the middle of Stormwind or Orgrimmar, mm-hmm. that they stand out. If you stand right next to them, the stuff from Wrath and from Cataclysm, the textures are going to be better. They are going to look more detailed. But from, you know, 6, 8, 10 feet away, these things really pop. So the Steadfast and Sentry, though, holy smokes, are they hard to find. They are really hard to find. And a great example here is the player who transferred to Lightbringer to get the Steadfast set. I've sold a few Steadfast chest or leg pieces for $5,000 apiece. My philosophy on mail now is mail should not be treated any differently than plate
mm-hmm.
in terms of a high end that caps out at $5,000. And that's what I've done.
Oh, you know what? Oh, I'm so excited. I looked up this on the... I have a piece. I have one of these pieces. Yeah, I've been flipping through, I've been noticing the shoulders. I actually don't think sell, at least the Sentry shoulders.
Yeah,
sell,
and that's worth mentioning. I don't buy any more shoulders.
Uh-huh, yeah.
None. Yep. I don't buy any more
helms.
I'm the
same way.
I don't buy any more shoulders. I do buy bracers now. I buy bracers on the Glorious On the Glorious model sets, I buy those. On the Tyrants model sets, I buy those. Overlord plate on some realms, I do buy those because I found out that those bracers actually show.
Mm-hmm.
Again, most of them don't, but for those they do. But I don't chase shoulders anymore. I don't chase helms. And on the top tiers, I will go after the belt, boots, and gloves. Lower tiers, I don't. I just keep to legs and chest.
Sorry, I'm just going to stop you for just a second because I'm looking at a Worgen Death Knight that is in all transmogged overlords, and he looks really cool. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
I love seeing Death Knights in transmog gear that's like an icy blue or you know, silver mm-hmm. colors, because when they get those icy blue eyes... Or if they have like white hair, it's mm-hmm. so cool because their hair and their eyes matches their outfit. And most other players, you know, you can't do that with the exception of, you know, just your hair. So
that's good to know about Steadfast, because now I probably have the Sentries and since, because I have that chest piece, and I was noticing that I hadn't seen it a lot, and I was noticing the little like chains or beads that are hanging like they're kind of like ripped. Yeah. It looks like torn yeah. like chainmail or something. It's
pretty but again, I mean, this is a discussion that. Fade and I initially started getting into about the Sentry, because apparently she's had a Sentry chest piece on her server for mm-hmm. she's been trying to push it for like 600 gold for weeks and it hasn't sold. So again, just because I've been able to move it at my prices doesn't mean that mm-hmm. everyone's going to be able to, and that was that's a perfect example right there. So mm-hmm. even though I have Steadfast and Sentry in my tier one, you know, on your realms, it could be completely different.
Yeah.
I have one more in my top tier,
uh-huh.
and that's the Magnificent. I have moved that up.
Mm.
The Magnificent, I believe, drops from AQ 20 and 40. It is a brilliant sort of fire red and sunburst yellow color. Looks really, really good.
I talked about this in my live stream this weekend. I saw this set and I don't even know where Keelhaul has this, but I don't care. I'm selling it for a lot of money because it looks really awesome.
Yeah, I would. I had it lower initially because I didn't think it had enough detail in the actual model, but what I started noticing realm to realm was I never saw it,
mm-hmm.
and that was enough to tell me to move it up, and I've decided to move it up into tier one. Now I haven't sold mm-hmm. any Magnificent pieces. I have a couple of chest pieces. I have some legs. I'm pushing them at 5,000. Mm-hmm. I haven't sold anything yet.
It's a very similar look to the plate chest piece that has that same coloration a little bit. The one that we saw on the transmog event that we did on Lightbringer, the girl that had the
Hyperion.
Yeah, the Hyperion. It has a very similar coloration to that. I was noticing. Mm.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a fiery. It's a fiery
bright
color.
Orange.
So, you know, Steadfast, I've had success. Sentry, it's a hunch. Magnificent, it's a hunch. Mm-hmm. And that's what that's the way I play. That's the way I roll with my tiers, is I roll on hunches, and
mm-hmm.
and for me it works. So tier two, my tier two is now the Chief Brigadier, the Ebonhold, and the Griffin. So you can see there's a lot of things that have been moving around. The Chief Brigadier is just fantastic. That is a plate, it's a mail set that's very similar to the Blood Fist plate set, which is a beautiful set and way too freaking common. But on the mail side, the Chief Brigadier set enables mail wearers to pull off the same look as the Blood Fist plate. It's a beautiful looking set. Get the shoulders.
This set, this exact set, and all of its multicolors are my favorite sets that I sell, and that's what I actually have I have transmogged on my warrior right now. I have a Boulder Fist chest, but my legs are Boulder Fist chest and Boulder Fist legs. So
yeah, the Boulder Fist that's nice. Boulder Fist and Dark Crest are both mm-hmm. nice. All three of those are really nice.
Looks very
so
similar
common.
To that. Yeah, they're just awesome.
But so Chief Brigadier is right there in my tier two. I continue to pull between 2,000 and 3,000 for the Chief Brigadier, particularly the chest and the legs. The Ebonhold has skyrocketed for me over the last couple of weeks, where I have just been picking it up and deciding to post it at the same level between 2,000 and 3,000, and it has been selling. The Ebonhold is it's just a it's black.
Yeah.
It is just a dark, dark black and has some really nice detailing to it. And if you look at
this
male gear in general, you just don't find straight black gear. You find it in leather. You don't find it in male. So I think that's why the Evenhold
this
has
could
such
actually
a feel.
Be cross. This could also possibly be selling cross sex, meaning that males might be picking this up as well.
Absolutely.
Not
yeah,
just
I totally
females.
Agree with that. Yep. Also here in my tier two, I have the Griffin male set. And the primary reason I have it here is because of scarcity. It is impossible to find on the Alliance side. And again, I'm tracking on six different realms. And the only place I see it, usually ever, is not Alliance. It's on Horde side. For some reason, I have like three sets of this stuff on Horde side. Given I can't move it yet, but again, I have a hunch there's enough going on with it that's very unique. It's got like this druid, feathery texture to it. I think it's like a dark brown. It's a couple of different sets that have that look, but most of those looks are in leather. You don't get that look with male gear generally, and here with the Griffins that you do.
Oh,
and
I'm
I've
so
also
excited.
I've been looking around. On so like if there's a set like the Griffin set is a great example. If there's a set that I'm looking at it and I find it really hard to find, and I think from a design standpoint there's something there, I'll start searching through Warcraft, like battle.net forums. I'll just do a search in there, and you will find, if it's a hot item and there's potential for it, what I found is people are talking about it. And that's what I found with the Griffin set. There's people posting, I would love this set. I will kill to be able to transmog my male gear into the Griffin set. If anyone finds it, I will pay, you know, X amount of gold for it. So when I see those things, it's little bits of validation to my own hunches. That's why I have Griffin in my second tier.
That makes me very happy, because when I did work my Warcraft looks my Warcraft look uncommon sets, I did a post on Warcraft looks about what uncommon sets I liked, and Griffin Mail actually showed up in that list. So it's,
oh, cool.
It's the feathery. Yeah, there's, like you said, there's leather in there. And actually, when I Google search, I don't know if it's because I got personal search or whatever, but Griffin Mail comes up for my Warcraft looks post, or the picture. So
cool.
It looks
and
awesome.
And I know somebody who will listen will say, I've had the Griffin Mail set and it's not selling. And again, this is me on my end. This is the way that I'm kind of approaching it. So I think there's something there, and I'm going to try to make it work on the realms that I'm on.
Interesting.
My next tier in mail is now I've moved the Glimmering set down to here, and I've paired it with the Heroes mail and the Grunt mail. So the Glimmering, the reason I've moved it down, this is that, you know, shiny, shimmery gold, which was my tier one, moved pretty well around 2000. And that's where I've kept it. This tier three, I keep it at around 2,000 or just under that. And it continues to sell. The problem with it is it's becoming way too prevalent on auction houses, particularly on the high population realms. There's just tons of glimmering male legs, glimmering male breastplate. And I got tired of competing with everyone. So I just dropped the price down, and I don't chase the shoulders. So the glimmering set, I don't chase anything but the chest or the legs. The Grunt set, the reason I moved it up is because it's, again, one of those really unique looks. Doesn't share its model with too many others. But out of that particular model, it shares its model with the Warpaint and the Spiked Chain mail. But the Grunt is sort of like, if you're a Georgia Tech fan, it's like black with bright yellow. So it just really, really pops. It has a lot of high contrast. So I bumped that up into my tier three, and it's been moving, man. It's been selling pretty well.
This one has the legs are just essentially a belt with like two flaps on the side.
Yeah, they're like little flat pads. Yep. And then the Heroes has traditionally been in my top three for male. It continues to do well. It's going gangbusters on Tychondrius for the last couple of weeks. It's selling close to 3,000.
As you're saying each of these, I'm like looking them all up so I can get in my mind, like visually, like memorize like which one is which. Yeah.
Tier four for me now is the Masterwork the engraved, and the ornate. So I've now bundled all three of those, which share the same model, into the same tier, and I sell those probably for around $2,000 a piece now, whereas before I had ornate pretty low, I had engraved pretty low. I was selling ornate for around like $700, but I've since moved it up, and in some cases I've been selling these sets between $2,000 and even as high as $3,000 in some cases. So I don't have them, I don't have super high expectations for those three, but they continue to do well. Nice thing about those sets is it's sort of the equivalent to the plate Hyperion, the Hyperion Commander and Imbued plate sets, where it's just got this very angular form that sort of cuts down the chest. Really nice looking piece.
Yeah, I think out of most of the I've gotten two or three emails from or mails in game for people, and it's about the engraved piece. For some reason, I don't know why people have been looking for that one.
And you know what's funny? The Masterwork and engraved sets in particular, for some reason, the gloves are very hard to find. I've had a number of people email me about those two sets.
That's what somebody was mailing me about,
and
too.
The ornate gloves pop up regularly, mm-hmm. but the Masterwork and the engraved gloves are actually, they're kind of difficult. And I've clued into that because since people have asked me, I've tried to keep an eye out for them, mm-hmm. and I don't see them anymore. So it's like, holy smokes.
This is the other set that I think has a very unique, belt, and it's just essentially like a belly chain with just like a little insignia, a little like decorative piece in the front of it. It's like a really, really, really thin cord that goes around, and then it's just a little piece of metal, and it's kind of really unique, that Masterwork and the engraved as well. So those ones, I've started moving belts up in my assumption. I used to like take them down if I was selling the set for $1,000, I'd sell the belts for $600, but now I just leave the belts at the same price as everything else besides the chest and legs, because I feel like, you know, I really found out when I did my own transmog on my girl, and I found out that the Bloodfist girdle belt matches the Bloodfist leg plates in more. I mean, when the artist built this set, he built it all together, so it really like matches the contours and everything. So.
Yeah, and you know, for a while I was maintaining that, you know, chest and legs are, you know, one group of pricing, and then everything else kind of gets bundled into a lower tier, and then like helm and shoulders I would drop off at the bottom, mm-hmm. and but the boots, the belt, and the gloves I would still keep reasonably high. I've actually dropped those way down.
Oh really? Okay.
It's just me. Mm-hmm. Because I'm trying to track six different realms, I've made the gloves, the belt, and the boots easier for players to acquire, because I've decided to make more of my focus the chest and the legs.
So you're basically you're making the same price off of a whole set, but it's just proportionally different.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. That's totally fair. So I make the big bank on the chest and the legs, mm-hmm. and what I'm going for there is kind of a hunch that the accessory pieces like the boots, the belt, and the hands are more for gap fillers or for that one player that really wants the Masterwork set, and they'll get it one piece at a time. Mm. My hunch is there's a tipping point on these prices, and if they can get the breastplate or the legs, then they're all in. You know, then all the chips go forward. So that's why I've sort of been like, you know what? I'm going to make all the accessories easy to get, mm-hmm. at just a few hundred gold. But then I'm going to take the hallmark pieces of the chest and the legs, and I'm really going to max it out, and I'm going to put it on the table, and I'm going to say, if you want this, you got to go all in.
Well, one of the things I've noticed for myself, and me and Fade talked about this a little bit, was that there's a chance, and she talked about this early on, but I've noticed that because I'm looking at these every day searching, that there's like a tipping point of selling to other moggers who think they can get more for an item. So like if I'm maybe not selling, so I might sell it for like 300 or something. Yeah, like for me, like I don't buy anything over 100. So like if it's over 100 gold, I don't buy it. I just let, you know, other people deal with it. But I wonder if how many people are buying your, you know, accessories to try to flip them because
they are
no enough experience.
I know from on Proudmoore in particular, after the WoW Insider article came out, mm-hmm. about a week later, my flips were getting flipped, and it was a little alarming because my inventory was disappearing, and I saw it getting reposted for phenomenal, just phenomenal prices. And at first I thought,
oh no, I left money on the table.
I know. I thought, oh, I should have priced that up. And what didn't help was seeing Farley Wow on Twitter continue to, I mean, he has always, you know, I've made more gold total, I think, in Transmog. Mm-hmm. He has made better sales. His sales are awesome. Yeah. His sales are unbelievable. And whenever I see him, I'm always like, oh, wow, that's really cool. And he's always like, you know, thanks for giving me the inspiration. And I'm always like, thanks for showing me what I'm not making on each one of these sales, too. And when I started to see my flips getting flipped, I was like, geez, you know, is the teacher now getting owned by the student? Am I missing something here? But it's kind of leveled out a little bit, though. And it's made me look more critically on Proudmoore in particular at the pieces that I'm selling. And I'm very discriminating about what I sell now. I mean, Proudmoore, again, I'm only in like the top five tiers. I don't chase anything else. And then I'm only going after the chest and the legs. And it's an interesting dynamic. If you were to pull up an undermined journal, right? You can pull up Keel Hall and see what I've got posted. Is that what does it? The undermined journal?
Yes.
Okay, so if you wanted, you could actually see what I'm selling up there right now, which is kind of funny because I actually transferred like 90% of my inventory off of there. But anyway, that's a later story.
Keep going, my friend. We have all the time in the world.
I know. Well, you and I get going on this stuff, right? All right, so we'll jump into the next tier. Next tier is Battleforge and Blood Knight. These have dropped way down for me. Not way down in terms of pricing. I still keep it around $1,750, $2,000. But there's just too much of it. Anytime I go to the auction house to see what's available, it's like, you know, Blood Knight, Battleforge. And it's like, number one, they're the exact same armor. They're the exact same color. So they look the same. So whenever you see Battleforge and Blood Knight, it's all the same thing. So when there's four competitors for Battleforge and there's four competitors for Blood Knight, you've got seven competitors. Eight. You got eight competitors all going against you. So I've dropped that way down. It continues to sell for me, but I don't make it much of a priority anymore. Mm-hmm. Next tier is the Lord's Mail. I've sort of continued to maintain the Lord in this place. It's just like the Heroes and the... actually, I think it's the exact same model as the Heroes. The Heroes is a little bit more rare. The Lords is just really common. It pops up all the time. And whereas it sold really well for me at first, it's a slow sell these days. Mm-hmm. Lord, and then two others that I've pulled into here are the ones that are matching the Grunt model, and that's the War Paint and the Spiked Chain. And it's just different colorations of the belt flaps look on that one. And War Paint does well. I sold a chest piece the other day for like $2,000. Mm-hmm. Spike Chain, you know, it sells here and there. And then this is it. I have one more tier in mail, and then that's it. I've dropped off everything that's below there. Everything that I used to take into account, I no longer do. My final tier in mail is Captain. I've dropped Captain way down because it does not sell, which blows my mind because it is a fabulous looking set. It looks great. It's relatively easy to find.
Yeah, it used to be in your tier three.
This one.
Oh my gosh. Okay, can I tell you? Can I tell you a story about this set? Because I think it relates to what I. This is where you had said at one point, like you were. I think it was you had said like you can't really bring your emotions into it sometimes because this set I think looks fabulous. I love this set. I love the Captain set. The other set that I was like personally pushing for was the Wraith Fin set. I think the Wraith Fin set, which shares some visual cues to this, which is like the same chest but just with a silver and red accents, I thought was so good. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna put this up on the auction house so people are gonna love it, and nobody loves it. So I was
well
sad.
The problem with the Wraith Fin or the Wrath Fin, whatever it is, it's too common. The minute you throw it up on the auction house at whatever price you want, within hours, another one appears in the auction house for five gold. Mm-hmm. It's just way too common.
Yeah. I'm going to transmog one of my hunters into it someday.
I've had it sold. It did sell for me, but the problem I was having with that set was the same problem I was having with the Blood Fist and the Conqueror set. Mm-hmm. I couldn't control...
Yeah.
The influx.
Gotcha.
I couldn't control the resources. And that's been one thing that I've really kind of keyed in on is that I think that there's potential with transmog long term, at least for me, because I feel like the resource that's supplying you with inventory is unpredictable. Mm-hmm. But what I have seen is there are certain sets that for whatever reason, the content that they're in, mm-hmm. you know, players are always running that particular instance or whatnot, or going through that particular territory. Mm-hmm. Wrathen continues to pop up, and I just couldn't control the stream of inventory mm-hmm. coming to the auction yeah. house, and eventually the cost of buying piece after piece and uh-huh. letting it take up yeah. space just yeah. outweighed what I was getting.
I'm feeling that way about a few sets, like the Lords, like you were saying, is like it looks like it should sell really well, but and I've picked it up because I like the way it looks, but I think you're right, like certain pieces, I guess, like when I start searching, what I should start searching for is like, are there seven or more pieces of this item, no matter what part, no matter like what part of the set they are, is there like that many? And if so, like there's a good chance like that they might be more commonly yep. in content, like whether it's early, you know, because in TBC, like you run from 68 to like 58 to like 75 level dungeons or 65 level dungeons, and then pretty much mm-hmm. most people hit 68 and go right to Northrend. So.
And it depends on what kind of realm that you're on too. Mm-hmm. Again, your faction, your realm size, and your type, it can make you or break you. I mean, if I'm on one of these low population realms, and I'm, you know, just testing something out or I've transferred over or whatever, and I'm looking at what's available, I treat what I see differently than how I yeah. do over on Proudmoore yeah. or Earthen Ring or Tyke, because the inventory is much smaller. Mm-hmm. Something like Wraithfin actually becomes sort of standard. Bloodfist, mm-hmm. Conqueror, Overlord is not nearly as prevalent. And mm-hmm. I have been able to pull the prices that I want out of those. Uh-huh. But when I'm on the main realms that I'm on, I stay away from a lot of that stuff.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break here on Power Word Gold. And when we come back, we'll be bringing you some more awesome transmogrification tips. We'll be back in just a second. All right, everybody, welcome back to Power Word Gold, episode 29. This is Jim Yunkin, and I'm here with Keel Hall.
Hello.
All right, and we're going to go ahead and jump right into this.
So my last tier here, and again, just real quick on Warpaint and Spike Chain. I'm sure some people would be like, Warpaint, Spike Chain, I've had that, or it's too cheap, or it's too prevalent. Again, this is a hunch. I'm going to go on it for a little bit. I've scored a number of grunt pieces and Warpaint pieces. I want to see what the Spike Chain can do. I want to see if I can control the inventory of war paint that's coming on to the auction house mm-hmm. and see what I'm up against. So I could change my mind in another 2 or 3 weeks. This is kind of how I work. So the last tier here for male, Captain, which we just talked about, mm-hmm. Protector, which I noticed you said something about the Protector leggings the other day, and I was like, he's in the right place.
I actually right now I'm looking in my in my bag, because I pulled it out of my mailbox, and I'm like, I'm gonna ask him about this one because I love the look of this one so much. Like, this one screams like Night Elf female ranger, like hunter.
It's look. Pretty good. It's got a pattern to it, that grid pattern mm-hmm. to it, that's very unique. It doesn't share that look, I believe, with really anything else. The green is, I think it would be more interesting if it was also available in a black, but it's
yeah.
not.
Yeah.
That's why I have it as low as I do, but that's also why I have it. The two reasons why I do have it in things that I look for is one, the grid pattern is very unique. The coverage on the female model, again, is mm-hmm. highly differentiated.
Yeah, it's like a belt with straps that hook up to yep. leg pads.
And then the final thing is, it's hard to find. The protector set is, in particular, the chest and the legs are tricky to come by. I've seen it more Horde side than I've seen it on Alliance side. And I'll tell you, again, I know it's a little bit about not bringing emotions into it, but honestly, so much of what I do is based on these hunches that I have. And so far, it hasn't hurt too much, right? With Protector, the one chess piece I have on Proudmoore, I actually don't even want to put it up because I'm tempted to keep it for myself. And I'm worried that I might not be able to come across it again. It's that tension between wanting to have something that I have a hunch might be really unique versus, I wonder if there's someone else like me that's waiting for it to go up on the auction house and I just have to price it right. So
yeah,
that tension that I find on pieces like that is what typically drives me to uncover something. So I think there's something there with that set.
Good. My instincts are in the right place. And the fact that it's so rare means that it's going to be one of those slow burn but one big bang. And like, you might not ever see another piece for a month or two.
The other thing to note, WoW had recently updated all of their armor databases, or at least what I've looked up for armor has had this. Weapons, we used to have same model as. They never had it for armor. They have it now.
Great.
If you go on and type in Chief Brigadier, and you can look at same model as, and it should give you the other pieces that actually have the same thing, and it will tell you where to go find
it. And it also should tell you if there's no other pieces that have that model.
Yeah, it should. And actually, let's see if there's anything up there.
Do the internets!
Who's going to win? Oh, no. Leggings of the Forgotten Protector. Leggings of the Lost Protector.
I'm just going to look up the one that I have in the link because I linked it.
It's terrible.
It looks like Protector's Leggards. It says, see also screenshots disenchanting. I don't see any. Is it in a special spot? Because I saw that announcement and I went and looked.
No, I think that means it's unique.
Okay.
It doesn't share anything else in game.
Okay. I got you. Because I know that they added the mogging list. Oh, yeah. Okay, so here's... Okay, yeah, Captain's Leggings. I looked up a different one. It has same model as male combat leggings.
Okay.
Protector... I went to a different one. Protector doesn't have that tab.
So what that means is the Protector model, unless WoWhead hasn't gotten to this one, the Protector model does not share its design with anything else in game. Okay. That probably means... Does it mean... Okay, for me, I think what that means is I may bump that up.
Well, the breastplate is great. Like I said, like there's certain race class combinations that are just kind of built for that. And even the chest piece even looks really good on like big chested like Draenei. Like I looked at the WoW head and it says, you know, it's got the male Draenei for just the picture before you go to view in 3D. And so on a female, it looks really... This is like...
I don't think I'd put it as high as, well, you know, you just never know because it's very hard
to find.
There's
so many variables, right?
it really is. It really just comes down to what do you think and based on your realm and what how things have sold for. So for me, you know, it's so rare. I think I might try going for 5,000 to just see what happens.
Look, everybody, we're getting Keel Hall to do live, you know, live process right here. You're watching it live.
I do think the reason is because it doesn't share that model with anything else in game. Yeah. That's pretty significant. I mean, because that's no different than how I treat weapons. Yep. You know, that I spent months going through with all the stuff for disenchanting Azeroth. I mean, the minute you change design, you're talking about a highly visually unique look, typically with weapons, not all the time. As you see with like the visual differentiation stuff that I do, but so you know.
Did you like
it's like this camo green though? God,
but it's ranger green. It's for like blood. Yeah. Like I said, I think a night elf or blood elf could love to have that because you got the kind of Legolas crap.
Yeah, you know what? I'll post it for 5,000. I'll see what happens.
Did you like my visual positioning chart that I built? I thought about you while I was creating it.
I did. I saw it, and I was like, "Oh, that's actually kind of neat. It's a triangle." and then I was looking at the chart, and I was trying to make sense of the chart without your
explanation.
And your explanation really helped, because I was, you know me, I was trying to break things down logically from a visual design standpoint, and I was getting completely lost. I'm like, I can't segment the way he's segmenting. What is he doing? But then I read your description, and it was like, oh, this is what you think these different classes are going to be going in terms of appeal. Okay, now I get it. Well, yeah. So that helped.
Well, you know, with three classes, it was a really, really neat experience, and I think it set a lot of groundwork. And I'm not going to stock too much up now, but as Pandaria gets closer, I'll definitely be able to go back to that post and say, because I thought there were some really great leather sets that monks are basically going to fill in the gap, I think, for a lot of leather transmog items, possibly.
Yeah, the thing that I liked about the post actually was just, you know, myself having not been somebody who has gone into leather, and even when I've been tempted by Farley and his prices, again, I keep going. I don't know what a good analogy is, but I keep going back to it. And I look at it, and it's like when I was in high school and somebody would put a plate of sushi on the table. You know, I'd be like, oh, wow, other people are really raving about this stuff. I guess I should. And I look at it, and I'm like, I don't know. It's been the same thing. Anytime I go back to leather, and when you put your post up, I was like, okay, this is this is fairly comprehensive. You can look at everything in one shot, at least in terms of – sort of the major visual area between the chest and the waist.
Yeah.
And I was looking at it, and I was like, well, there's a couple pieces in there, maybe.
I failed.
And I picked up some items, and I sold them within a few days. I mean, literally to a vendor. I was just like,
yeah,
leather's not my thing. I don't do it. I don't think there's anything that looks good. And it was like I had finally decided to eat the sushi, and it was in my mouth, and I was like,
tasted, you know, just like it looked.
This tastes awful, which is kind of is irony, because I've like been to Japan and some of these other places overseas. I love sushi now, so I still don't like leather.
when I look, even in the post, I even said, you know, I was pretty confident about the monk leather. I thought this looks like, you know, Asian light armored monks. I was less certain about the rogue, and I completely just punted on the druid. I was like, I don't understand. Like and the fact that I broke it down by race, sex, meant that, like, now I realize, well, on the horde, I'm pretty much selling almost exclusively to a male tauren population, which I don't really know what they would want, and, you know, so and also the tier sets on rogue and druid are both really great looking, and I don't think many people are, there's nothing different. That's the whole, going back to the whole, there's nothing you can get from a green piece of leather that you can't find better out there somewhere else. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean,
we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, just tonight I was screwing around with leather just for my druid, and really the only reason I was doing it is it's on Tichondrius, and it's a druid that I have.
Is it a male tauren?
No, it's a male worgen. He's 85, and I'm going to be doing that another transmog contest over on Tichondrius in a few weeks, and I was like, you know, I really should have some kind of a cool transmog outfit to go to one of these things. And I'm like, I don't have time to go navigating through a raid instance right now. So I need to be able to gear up with BOEs. And I was like, oh, God, there's just nothing there. But then I came across and, you know, I was building around the cursed vision of Sardra, the black headman. And I came across the scouting set, which was a pure black leather set. And
also on my visual positioning list.
I found that, and I was like, you know, that could actually work with the headband. And the more I picked up the pieces, the more I saw some people were selling the items for like 500, 700, 800. And without even thinking, I picked up the pieces, you know, and just bought them. But then I wanted a black cloak. And for the first time since before 4.3 and I started, I suddenly wanted and found something in a cloak that I saw potential with or potential for in terms of maybe making some gold. I think it would be extremely niche, but I wanted a black cloak. And I couldn't find a black cloak until at the very bottom of the list, someone had posted a master's cloak, which was a black cloak, which had like a furry mane top end to it, which matched my worgen. And I was like, this is perfect. And a player had posted it for 5,000 gold. And I was like, you dog.
You son of a...
I was so like, I was caught in this moment of...
This is what I've been doing to everybody else.
I was like, that was really smart, you I think, to dog. Do that because I had my finger on the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if I was not a purveyor myself in this area, I think I may have swung for the fences, and I may have gone for it at even though it was 5,000, even though it was this green cloak.
Well, my,
but I held back and I thought, no, that cloak's probably going to pop up again if I just keep an eye out for it. But suddenly something triggered for me, and it's the only thing that's triggered for me on leather. It's the only thing, and that was black pieces. And it's not something I'm going to look into. It's not something I'm going to write anything about. I don't want to get into it because I don't have time, but something triggered there because I was desperate to find those black pieces. And the fact that someone else had items posted that high and even a cloak up to 5,000 tells me that potentially other players are doing the same thing.
If you do, not to... go back to the article I posted, but I felt the same way about specifically rogue leather. So if you look on the visual positioning chart that I ended up putting up, and there's like a huge version, the rogue black one was scouting, and nightshade were the two that I saw. Like any dark and like the bandit leg. The
nightshade
bandit
is good too. I saw the nightshade. I didn't see the chest piece. Otherwise, I think I might have picked up the set.
Yeah, the chest piece. I don't know what it looks like on a guy. On a girl, it's like a halter top. So, but anyways,
that was all right. Good. It was like a pitch black with some nice like beaded detailing on the arms.
Uh huh. Yeah. Yep. So, did you want to go ahead and maybe talk about cloth, because I know that's an item that really stumps a lot of us that are...
Yeah, I'll just spend a couple of minutes on cloth, and I'll tell you what I do with cloth. And again, disclaimer, follow at your own risk, right? The way I manage cloth these days is I went through all of my inventory where I was selling the boots, the belt, and the gloves, and they were just moving a little too slow. I felt that I was... trying to maximize what I could out of cloth after having written down all the tiers for cloth. And when I went back and looked at that, I realized I kind of had it right in the original tier. Or I don't even know if it was a tier. I think I just said in your original post that, or the original post that I gave you, I said, here's what you want for plate, here's what you want for mail, and cloth, just get robes. And I looked at that and I said, you know, I think that's all I want to do. I don't think I want to mess with all these other pieces when it comes to cloth. I think I just want to sell the robe. I want to sell the point of entry, right? I want to sell the tipping point piece, which is the robe. And I'm going to let everybody else chase, you know, every silk sand belt that pops up on the auction house. I'm tired of going to chase those pieces. Mm-hmm. So I sort of regressed back to my original strategy, and I went to the vendor and I sold everything. And I didn't even disenchant it because, again, I don't sell disenchanting items. I only sell transmog. So I just sold everything, kept the robes. Now my tier structure has largely remained the same. Robes of Insight, high-end, then going into Silk Sand, Vital, Rain Collar, you know, all those ones up at the top, and I can kind of go through a couple of them real quick. But the general rule of thumb for me now is, like, less than 5% of what I sell is cloth. It's only robes. Mm-hmm. And even when I see things like Journeyman, the Simple Robe, I second-guess buying those things now because it's just sort of like, whatever. So common.
Do you have any, I guess maybe a question I can ask you at the beginning is not what's the most common thing you pick up, but what's the most uncommon? Like, what items that aren't robes do you pick up? Do you pick up anything like silver thread legs or any of the kind of like...
No, I really don't. I mean, okay. If I saw a silver thread tunic, I might pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do think the silver thread set in particular is very unique. I've seen it at a couple of my transmog events. It mm-hmm. looks great.
It's a cloth piece that looks like leather, basically.
It does. It looks like a rogue set. It looks really cool. It's very rare. I don't see it on the auction house that often. It's probably why I haven't been faced with having to buy it or let it ride.
Mm-hmm.
If I saw it, yeah, I'd probably pick it up only because I haven't seen it for so long.
Mm-hmm.
The other things that I do pick up are the wind channelers, tunic and leggings.
Yeah.
I do pick those up. I do sell those between, 1,000 and 1,500. Outside of that, it's all robes.
Do those sell? Because I've been trying to flip a few of those and I haven't really been having luck anything with, I have a couple wind channelers.
They have sold. I sold off the inventory that I had.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen them pop up again, but I will say that the wind channelers is niche.
Okay.
It's no different than, say, the Grim Sabatons.
Yeah.
For plate that matches the Enchanted Thorium set, where you, not only do you have to have a player that's wearing cloth, you know, or a plate in that case, but you have to have a player
that wants
that
the
is
piece.
Chasing the wind channelers yeah. set. Which is a very, very difficult set to assemble.
Mm-hmm.
But what it means is, for a very, very difficult set to assemble, and a player needs that one final piece, and they go to the auction house, it's one of those right place, right time, you can probably charge whatever you want.
Okay, all right.
But you have to have that buyer.
Yeah, exactly. Just speaking kind of just out of turn here, have you sold the Golem Shard leggings at all? Have you tried to sell these? They basically look like a black pair of legs that's plate with big square plates attached to the front that have like gold. I don't know. You might have
is
to
it
look
two more. Words.
Golem shard leggings. Yeah, it's a blue item, not a green item. But
oh, you know what? That reminds me though of two other leggings I want to mention to you. Golem shard leggings. No,
okay.
I've never seen those before. But actually, those are kind of neat.
They just look very. Different like to me, so I've been like
it reminds me though of another set of plate legs that I keep a lookout for that I've been able to flip at 5,000. That's the Cloud Keeper leg plates.
Mm-hmm. I've been trying to sell those for 20,000 gold on my server.
Yeah, 5,000 is probably on the cheap. I've sold two or three of those since 4.3, and my first two were between like 15 and 20.
Gotcha.
This last one though, I couldn't move them for anything on Earthen Ring, and I finally just I broke down and I posted it for 5,000, and then they sold.
My wife's gonna get them if I don't sell them, so she's been like wanting them for a while.
Yeah, they're a great set of legs, but they're very hard to match to a set. And if you look at the screenshots that have been submitted to battle.net in that transmog screenshot contest that Blizzard was running, there's a few players that have the Cloud Keeper leg plates, and they're trying to match it, and the stuff doesn't match very well.
Okay.
So,
the items themselves in a vacuum look really great, but my wife was doing that with, I think it was the Ornate on her, it was the Ornate, is that the one with the silver and the gold trim that's like...
Yes, it matches the Ornate top, but then you're switching mail and plate.
Well, no, I know she was on her. She had a heck of a time trying to match any other items to the Ornate. She's like, oh man. She's like, I love this chest piece, but you know what? I can't find anything to match it. So you can have it back and try to sell it.
Right. There's another set of legs that I've been picking up and selling for around 2,000 mail. They're called the Firemane leggings.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like a blood scale plate light for mail wearers. It's like pink legs. The weird thing is, it's the same exact legs as the Brigade leggings, which the Brigade hasn't really sold all that well for me. But for some reason, the fact that it's blue, I posted it for 2,000. For whatever reason, I've sold like two of them for 2,000 a piece.
Is it one word or two? Because I'm gonna have to add that to my. I have like a miscellaneous mogging item list that I've been keeping.
Is it for what?
Is it two words, fire main, or one word?
No, it's just one. Firemane.
Okay. I'll add that to my list. So back to cloth. So keep going.
So cloth. So the reason I have the Silk Sand and the Vital so high in my tiers is because it's a robe that has a slit down the side.
Mm-hmm.
Down the side of the dress that has some nice structural elements sort of pairing across from the front and the back. It's just, again, another one of those pieces that has some revealing aspects to it, mm-hmm. that is so different from what we traditionally see nowadays. And Vital Silk Sand, for me, traditionally sells around 2,000 a piece, has been fairly steady. They don't sell nearly as fast as plate or mail items, but when they do sell, I just kind of hang on to them, and eventually they do sell mm-hmm. for around 2K. They share that model, I believe, with the Night Sky, the Lunar, the Sage, which are more of a blue version. The Silk Sand is like a brown. The Vital's a green.
Mm-hmm.
Silk Sand and Vital are extremely rare, though. They have really low drop rates, yeah. whereas the Night Sky, Lunar, and Sage, which are a blue, have a much higher drop
rate. Yeah, I finally found my first Silk Sand robe, and I was like, I finally get to see what it looks like, because I haven't really like looked all these up necessarily or paid attention. So I saw it and I was like, oh, it looks like all kind of tattered, and like it's really cool.
It's a nice robe. Looking robe. And
very the Vital, Horde, I think. I'd say Horde would probably like this sand silk robe a lot.
Yeah, those are good. The Ember Silk and Fel Cloth has the same model. It's like they're both like a burgundy, a burgundy red. So same design, same model, really nice. The Mooncloth robe, probably one of the safest bets right now.
Okay.
It's just one of those funny things. I haven't tried to craft it myself. I'm assuming it takes Mooncloth to craft. I don't know how readily available Mooncloth is. You know, it's an older pattern. I've traditionally seen it above 1,000 gold.
Uh-huh, yep.
And I'll tell you what, it is always at my transmog events.
Okay, yeah.
You know, I've held probably 6 of these things now. It is always at, well, and of course, some people are probably like, well, it's because you're running the same event on the same server. And it's like, no, I run these in like four different realms.
That robe really goes well with the whole like white priest kind of, a lot of these all white outfits that people make.
Yeah, and you see some mages will wear it with the benevolent cowl of benevolence, mm-hmm. off of.
Gorfine.
Yes, Terran Gorfine.
Yeah, we've been farming that on my wife and I, so I'm very familiar with that one.
Yeah, so it works really well. It works with a lot of different things, and a number of priests have been mix and matching it with a lot of tier sets, and it looks really, really good.
I just bought a Tyrant's Greaves for 6 gold. Yay.
It's nice.
All right.
I would think those would sell well.
Okay.
I would try to boost that price.
Now, I've been uncertain about the Mooncloth robes, because I've seen them for, like you said, between 500 and 1,000. I'm always like in the back of my mind, I'm always like, if I buy this, are just going to have the mats to just build another one and then, like, you know, undercut me? So I'm always more cautious with the crafted stuff, because if they see it sell for 1,000, they're just going to go farm up the mats and try to sell another one, or say 500. So
yeah. And I just don't know. I'm not 100% on it, but I've seen it around at these events often enough that, you know, it's getting made, whether or not they're buying it.
Yep.
Beaded, ancestral, aboriginal, and barbaric cloth all, for the most part, have a similar look, which is kind of a it's sort of like a skirt, and then halter top, or
like a cloth, like just a piece of cloth hanging over the chest area.
Yeah, it's just sort of a horizontal band going across the chest area. That's just, it's got a unique look to it. The barbaric cloth in particular is, I believe it's like a mix of purple and pink, sort of a trollish looking design. And I've sold a couple of those, I think, between 1 and 2K. And I'm starting to see that on some realms as high as like 10,000. So I don't know whether it's if people are getting that kind of money for it. But
Win Chandler's legs for 20 gold.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Again, niche.
Yeah, I know, very niche. That's why 20 gold is a great price. I'm willing to try flipping it for a while for that price.
And then the rest of these, Mystic, Hibernal, Silver Thread, you know, Black Velvet Robes, Stonecloth, Highborn, Gaia.
Here's my question, though. Gaia robes. I just got my first Gaia robe, and it's one of the most beautiful robes I've ever seen in the game, and it's very... it has, like, really cool sides, and then even, like, it's open even down part way down the leg, and it actually matches... I was talking about this on my live stream. It matches the look of the Warsong Frostwolf clan NPCs in Orgrimmar. They're wearing that. So I got
the
my first
trouble
piece.
With it is, and I'm going to look on WoWhead
okay.
here. The trouble with it is it shares its look with the Twilight Robe and the Highborn Robe and the Windchaser Robe.
Okay.
They all share the same design. Not only that, they share the same base of the brown and the gold. The only difference from robe to robe is there's tiny little swatches of color that are embedded on kind of the banding that's on the front of the robe. Mm-hmm. And so one has a slightly reddish tint. One mm-hmm. has a slightly blue tint. One has a slightly purple tint. But from 6 feet away, they all look the same. And unfortunately, the Twilight robe is really, really popular. It has a really high drop rate. So I've stayed away from those. I agree with you. I think it's actually a really cool design, particularly on the female model, but... Mm-hmm. hasn't done
okay
as well as I would hope.
It was like, since I've switched only to doing robes, I saw the robe for the Gaia's, it's called Gaia's Raiment, and I was pretty excited for it because it really had a cool look. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know, as I'm flipping through the robes, it just stood out to me as something that I hadn't really seen anything like it before. So and you say you work one way, I'm working this way, and I'm saying I'm gonna give it a go.
It's there's a lot of reasons for it to work. And let's see, Arachnidian and Hibernal and Venom Shroud, I think off the top of my head, I think they all share the same sort of pattern. It's this sort of spidery look.
Yeah, I just picked up a Hibernal robe for 25 gold.
Those continue to sell well. I saw...
I did a Warcraft Looks post about a girl that had used... I think she used it, and it was... For people that like that, and they match it with the Venom Shroud gloves, I believe. One of the gloves that's green. So,
who just sold... Somebody just sold a Hibernal robe tonight and tagged you and I in a post. Elvine. Elvine. Anyway, had sold another Hibernal robe. Those have been moving.
Captains are so cool. Sorry, I've been doing my normal routine, and I'm like flipping through, and I'm like, oh, Captain's Mail. Poor Captain's Mail. It's so cool looking. One day I will avenge you, Captain's Mail. Oh, actually, I'm going to buy out this. There's a pair of legs and boots, and I'm going to have to make
Don't get me wrong. I mean, you can look over on my Tumblr feed and you'll see some captain's breastplates for like 750 gold, but they don't move nearly as well as some of the other pieces. Or I shouldn't say that. They have moved better at 750 than they did at 3,000.
Yeah, so it's just a matter of finding the right price point for it.
Yeah. And then the last section here, just, you know, Imperial Red, Counselors, Regal, Mystical, High Counselors, it's all the same thing, just variants on the color. I really don't chase cloth that much anymore.
Yeah.
It's like cloth on the weekends for me these days. and again, it's only the robes, but again, I see them at the transmog events, that Regal, Imperial Red, Mystical, they're always out. There's usually at least two or three players running around in them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that I'm going to have to take your advice and see maybe this next week or so, just see if raising the prices on the chest and legs, but lowering the prices on the rest, especially like wrists and, or not wrists, sorry, hands, feet, and belts will kind of help kind of boost some of the sales, because I've been kind of going across the board with my pricing, so we'll see.
You know what I think has been boosting my sales? And a month ago I would have said no, but on one of your previous podcasts, Fade was talking about the fact that she felt that since I was doing these transmog events, that players were going to the auction house in preparation for these events and buying items.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard that, I was like, oh, geez, I don't know. That's, I mean, is that really happening? I mean, I have no, well, I have
she
no.
She attested to the fact that she spent what 27,000 gold to try to win, and she's a very competitive person. So
right, right. Well, and when I heard that, I was like, I don't really know, but I'll tell you what. When I released that Faction 5 concept,
what
and
is
started
this?
Spreading
I don't,
it around
I don't know what
Tychondrius. What did you say? You don't know what it is?
Mm-mm, I've never heard about what you're talking.
Oh, okay. Ooh, okay. So technically, since the last time I was on your podcast, I got banned one more time,
mm-hmm.
and then have had a whole ton of these transmog giveaways, right? Mm-hmm. And then you were able to come and join me
on the
Earthen Ring one and the Lightbringer one when PC Gamer was in tow and they were mm-hmm. providing media coverage of the event.
I was like, I have all the gold, and there are people
with me. That was awesome. You were such a big help. I was like, here, you handle Horde, I'm going to handle Alliance. And, you know, PC Gamer's running around, like, taking pictures. Mm-hmm. When I announced the one that we're going to do on Tychondrius in a few weeks, I went after Noliani and Ironica at WoW Roleplay Gear, mm-hmm. and I said, "Hey guys, help me judge one of these things, because they have incredible knowledge of how rare pieces are and how difficult they are to find."
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm good at visually differentiating things and identifying things that, you know, look good and is put together well, I'm not the fastest draw on determining how much effort it might have taken to actually pull that together.
Mm-hmm.
Nor am I that savvy when it comes to characterization, persona, NPC copies,
mm-hmm.
You know, things like that. And they're really good at that from an RP standpoint. So I said, hey, you know, would you guys be interested in pairing up with me, and we'll go create kind of a celebrity transmog resource contest over on Tychondrius, and I'll sponsor it. We'll throw 100,000 gold into it. And they said, yeah, that'd be awesome. Let's do it. So I came up with this idea that I called the Faction 5, and rather than take 100,000 gold and spread it across 100 players, I wanted to try to do something a little bit different. So on Tyke, in a few weeks, what we're going to do is, and so I've been creating graphics for this, and you know, I posted something to Reddit to kind of get the word out. I posted something onto the Tychondrius forums, and we're going to do 5 players from each faction, Alliance and Horde. So that's the Faction 5.
Mm-hmm.
They're each going to win 10,000 gold.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to take the judging criteria. We're going to take it really seriously. You know, so there'll be 5 winners, one for like best overall, one for best original, one for best use of tier or dungeon gear. And so there's going to be strict criteria for all of those things. But then there's going to be some twists to it. So whoever shows up on both Horde and Alliance, so we're going to do it on both sides. We're going to select 25 finalists from whoever shows up on both sides. And those 25 finalists each get 1,000 gold. And then out of those 25, we're going to pick the top 5 winners that will each get 10,000 gold. And then on top of that, we're going to play a game of what not to wear, like WoW edition. And we're going to pick out a transmog outfit that's shown up to the party that is just so hurting and in need of our design expertise that I'm going to cover whatever the expense is from the auction house to hook them up with a whole new outfit. And, you know, we'll do a before and after and interview the person after the transmog event and everything, kind of put it into a blog post. And so we're having a lot of fun with it, and we're kind of putting the criteria together, and we're getting the word out on Tychondrius, and I'm getting a lot of in-game mails like, I'm really excited about this contest, you know, da 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 da, or I'm not going to be able to make it on that weekend. Can I submit my armory ahead of time? And so there's been a lot of chatter about it, and my sales on Tychondrius have like tripled in the last 7 days since I started pushing all of this buzz. And all of a sudden I was like, good Lord, why is everybody suddenly buying on Tychondrius? And I started thinking, well, maybe Tychondrius is at the cusp of early adoption, and maybe it's the early majority that's just tipped because I transferred my character here and there's all of this inventory and da-da-da-da. And all of a sudden I was like, wait a minute, maybe Fade is right. Maybe it's because of all this hoopla about this upcoming contest. Because before I knew it, there's like ornate breastplates going off the house for like 2,900 gold, and you know, Chief Brigadier leggings for 3,000 gold. And I mean, like on a nightly basis, you can look at the feed on Tumblr, and there's things on Tychondrius have exploded over the last 7 to 8 days. And before you knew it, mm-hmm. I went from like 80,000 gold to 150,000 gold, and I'm sort of like, huh. I wonder if the name and just all of this advertising going out is actually prompting a little bit of business. I wouldn't have thought it could have an effect, but I'm wondering now if maybe it did. So we'll see.
Interesting.
So that's one thing that's going on. Let's see. What else is going on? Proudmoore. Proudmoore will have a contest pretty soon. I'm pretty close to 100,000 there. Earthen Ring, we're going to do again. I'm over 100,000 there again already since the last time that we did it. So I'm going to need your help again at some point.
I have, what did I call, Flexi Poops and Flexi ready to go.
So that's pretty cool. So I'm sort of telling the communities on these different realms, like, hey, you know, be prepared, it's coming, start to get your outfits ready. Remember the last time that we did this, there was media coverage by PC Gamer. So Proudmoore in particular, as I mentioned, the competition has become so fierce that I decided to do something with the bulk of my inventory. And what I did was I transferred a character. I took like 95% of the inventory. The only thing I left was a couple of tier 1, tier 2 pieces. But I started thinking about the challenges of being on a high population realm and what I was seeing in all the competition that I had and my inability to control the influx of pieces. Mm-hmm. And even the high tier stuff. I mean, there's like 5 exalted boots, you know, there's like 6 Vanguard belts. I can't keep up with so much competition, and it's gotten into an undercutting war on Proudmoore. And that's where my skill set starts to fade off. You know, I'm good on the fashion side. I'm good on the, you know, predicting and kind of heading out into that new territory. But when it gets into just a classic market and you need those classic, you know, auctioneer skills and things like that, I start to fall a little short. So I said, well, if this is where high population realms eventually go, where transmogrification is tipped and all the right things are in place for it to tip, and then eventually it becomes a standard market and everyone's getting involved, we know, or at least I know from some experience going to the mid to low population realms, that it was much slower in terms of the adoption of transmogrification. So I thought, well, what if I go and do that thing that I was kind of interested in doing, which was to take a big inventory and go to a medium, you know, small, medium size, or low population realm, and just show up and dump it all on the auction house and see what happens. So that's what I've done on Arthas on the Alliance side. I transferred my paladin from Proudmoore over to Arthas on the Alliance side. Now, Arthas is a fairly sizable realm, but it's all Horde. There's only a very small contingency on the Alliance side. But I know from experience it's much easier to sell on the Alliance side than on Horde. Or at least for me, it's been easier on the Alliance side. So transferred over to Arthas. And day one, so I didn't notify Blizzard either. And remember the last time I did this, when I went from Proudmoore to Tychondrius, I got banned for dumping like 200,000 gold worth of items on the auction house. Well, nothing happened this time. I'm starting to wonder if maybe Blizzard customer service is actually just
a big, huge sticky on your thing.
I think maybe. I'm for the upcoming contest, I'm not going to warn them. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to see what happens and see if maybe they've put a tag on my account where I'm not going to get in trouble, period, so they don't have to deal with me.
See hyperlink. WoW Insider.
Totally. So I went over to Arthas, threw everything up, and sold like two pieces overnight around 2,500 gold. I think it was like blood scale. There was really nobody else on there that was posting, at least not very strongly.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't really look like Transmog. Transmog was present because mm-hmm. that was there where the Exalted Harness was, and it was just up there for like 5,000 gold.
Mm-hmm.
But that was it. Like everything else was around 99 gold. So I kind of bought some of the key pieces out, put my inventory up, and I had a few big sales, and then it went silent. Like nobody bought anything.
That sounds exactly like what happened to me on my little teeny 100 gold in a random alt. No, nobody else selling. I sold like two things right away, and I'm just like, oh, this is going to be awesome. And then all of a sudden, nothing for like.
Yeah, and then it went totally quiet for like 5 days. And so it was immediately like, oh, no. I'm so glad I did this challenge. You know, mm-hmm. now I can try to figure out what's going on. And my own hunch has been, you have to get the local population to acclimate. You have to acclimate mm-hmm. them to what the pricing structure is going to be. And
slowly turn the water up so the frog boils.
Totally. So I started posting things, you know, got them up there and went silent for a week. And now there's a trickle effect. So now it's about 3,000 every day. players are starting to copy what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more competition is starting to move in. They're starting to match my prices rather than the prices that were there. And it's still very easy to get the pieces that I want and to flip them and put them up.
Mm-hmm.
But the trickle effect is starting to hit. Players are starting to come out again. They're starting to buy the thing. So again, I think it's just one of those little things where you really have to experiment wherever you are with what you can and can't do. And one thing I love to do is I love to push the boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty fair to say that I like to test the waters and really mm-hmm. see, you know, how resilient the buyer population is. And when there's a face off, I'm always gonna like hold my ground
mm-hmm.
As long as I possibly can, because I've seen it happen so many times where the longer I wait, the more there's a payoff. And there was never a better example than what just happened on Earthen Ring a couple of nights ago. I've had a full lofty set, including the breastplate, up there for like a month. I mean, every single piece for 5,000 gold, and then the breastplate for 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been so tempted to drop that price, but I haven't. And the few times that I've been online, even though I've given like the community, like, you know what, 250,000 in gold at those events, I logged on and people were like, oh my God, there's that Nikon again. And you know, oh, he's charging so much for all that stuff. And I was like, oh, you know, maybe they're right. Maybe I just need to drop the prices down. And it was in a bit of a midst of, you know, other folks talking about, yeah, let's just reduce the prices. And I thought, no, there is somebody out there that is like me.
Someday my prince will come.
Waiting for that price to go down. And it hit me that it was like, this is no different than somebody seeing that leather jacket or whatever in a store mm-hmm. and just being like, it's going to go on sale. It's going to go on sale. If I just wait it out, or there's going to be a coupon day,
mm-hmm.
there's this sort of innate behavior. And so I waited and I waited and I waited and I held strong. And then like two nights ago, I opened up the remote auction house and it was like, Nikon, you have 28,000 in sales. And I was like, holy crap, what happened? And I went and looked, and every single piece of the lofty set, with the exception of the breastplate, had sold.
Oh,
so it was so clear. Somebody had either had a breastplate drop for them, or they found a cheaper breastplate
mm-hmm.
that they were able to pick up, and then they immediately snapped, went to all my stuff, bought me out, and, mm-hmm. and bought every piece for 5,000 gold.
Yeah.
So it was like, you know, five, six pieces at 5,000 gold a piece. And I was like, yes. And then all of a sudden I thought, I can't post this because I told everyone I was going into low power mode, and I am in low power mode. This is low power mode for me. But, and then I thought, and I can't post it because everyone's going to be like,
oh my God,
but you said I could make 1,000,000 gold and that's not working for me. And I was like, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to post this, and I'm just going to be like, look, this works for me. It's working great. It's like rock star status at what I'm able to accomplish. But
this is a good, on a perfect.
Do not look at me as a role model. This probably will not work for you.
Actually, I've been waiting for the last few minutes. I'm just going to click this button, and there we go. I made 4,000 gold in transbox sales. Yay! I sold blood, let's see here. Black velvet robes for 2,000, blood scale leggards for 2,000, and then Templar bracers for 200, and Templar pauldrons. So, and those are ones I pulled down to 200 just to try to get rid of them. But yeah, so yay, it works. It does work.
But nice. You know,
I'm as we've been chatting here, I actually raised I raised my breastplate and leg prices by 1,000, and I dropped my rest of my pieces down to 300. So I'm gonna see if that I like that theory of getting them the first ones, you know, cheap, and then, you know, as they as they want the rest of the items, you know.
Yeah, you want to take
a little taste.
Well, at least what I do is that, you know, you take that chest and the legs and you make that the you know, the Gillette razor.
Uh-huh.
And then you let them have the blades for free. And just, sure, you want some gloves? Here, you can have some gloves.
Oh, good times. All right. Well, I think that, I don't know. Do you have anything else that you wanted to talk about on the podcast tonight?
I can talk briefly about PC Gamer if you want me to.
Sure. Why don't you talk about has been going on and what will be going on with PC Gamer? Because I think a lot of us in the community were excited that, and of course, if you listen to the podcast, you know I was very jealous of the attention that I've been working in the salt mines for all this time, and he comes in.
I know, but I've been busting my butt to try to hook you up, man. I'm like, sending it all over to your hatchery.
You wash my back, I wash yours. So do you want to talk a little bit? But no, really, like, we have been talking about this since literally September of last year. This isn't something anything.
Nah, we've been talking about this since August.
August, sorry.
I started Disenchanting Azeroth at the end of August, yeah. So we were talking about this probably.
It was in August, yeah, that's right.
Early August, yeah.
So do you what's been going on with PC Gamer? What can we look forward to?
So PC Gamer, jury's still out as far as I'm concerned, because I'm still just sort of like, you guys honestly think this is news? I mean, there really must be like nothing going on in the world of gaming that you can talk about if you find this interesting. But they tell me that they're putting an article together for the magazine. And so it's not online. Mm-hmm. It sounds like it's actually going to be going into the March 17th publication,
okay,
which I'm sort of like, that's cool. But at the same time, I'm like,
going to go buy like 5 of them and keep them all in nice condition. I got into Wired magazine once and I did that same thing. Went and bought 5 of them and just keep them nice. And my name is right there.
Sweet. Yeah, so I'm sort of like, that'd be really cool, but I'm not getting my hopes up. But what they've been doing is they've been telling me that they're putting together a story that's primarily based on the transmog events that that I've been holding, in particular the ones that they shadowed you and I on Lightbringer and on Earthen Ring. And I think what they're doing is they're kind of writing it from an angle of, you know, player created content, you know, transmogrification and fashion within the game, and how it's sort of invigorated the population, and, you know, people customizing their gear, and what does that mean? And then as a side note to it, there's this story of this guy who kind of knew what to peg at the get-go and ended up making all this gold and has been able to turn it around into fuel these events that people are coming out for, and they're getting, you know, they're getting tipped for the fashion that they've been able to put together. But as one component of the article that they've actually been very strenuous in trying to get details from me on is the gold making aspect of it. And I've had to be really careful about how I position some of this stuff. And again, we'll see if they actually come out with it. But two of the questions they asked me were, for someone starting out as a gold maker from scratch entering the transmog market, what are the best items for a, you know, somebody who's just blossoming into the space? And I'm thinking to myself, and they asked me this, they said, can you make a list of, you know, the top item in each category that somebody should start out with if they want to try to make some money with transmogrification? And when they asked me that, I was like, you really want to put that in the article? And they were like, oh yeah, we'd love to be able to tell people how they can make gold with transmogrification. And I thought,
you
man,
that
never before will a single player be fully responsible for the rise and fall of a single market.
Trust me, there's still stories about various people in the gold making community, or out of the gold making community. There's notorious stories about, oh, this forum posted this technique and now all the markets were ruined, or they did it, you know. So yes, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, so that's kind of my worry a little bit. But so I've had to be very careful with the items that I've given them, and I'm not going to give those items out now because I do want the items that
like
that are going into the art to be a surprise.
I'm just imagining like a real gold maker reading this and be like, he only gave him the second tier. We still have it for us.
You will read it and you will go, you know, oh, well, that's not going to be the money maker. So just to give you, you know, a hint, it's looking at items that I decided were sustainable enough that by the end of March, I feel they will still have value.
Mm-hmm.
And it will still be within reason to be able to go and either acquire that item through a few different means and still be able to flip it at that time in general.
Mm-hmm.
But the clause that I have beaten them over the head with, as I said, if you are going to add a gold spin to this article, you have to put somewhere in there a major cautionary tale of your faction, your realm size, and your realm type can make you or break you, and that mm-hmm. this is not a market for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I've been able to train them.
So basically what you're going to do is you're going to give me the list and I'm going to go out on the servers and I'm going to buy up all these items and hold on to them. And when the article comes out, I'm going to post them all for middling prices and then we'll make profit.
So it's pretty funny. So it's sort of like, wow, this is kind of interesting. I've kind of had my...
I've got all the goodwill of the gold making community and now I will have all the wrath.
Exactly. I'm like, okay, this is going to be interesting. We'll see how this goes. So we'll see. So there's a couple of different lists that they've had me pull together as far as aesthetics, and mm-hmm. you know, they've asked me about the blog and everything, what's going on with Disenchanting Azeroth, and just the way that I approach things from a visual design standpoint. So it's been good conversation, and but again, I haven't really allowed myself to emotionally get into it because I'm just sort of like, you know what, it's going to end up being mid-March, and next thing I know, they're going to be like, oh, you know what, the chief editor decided to pull the story,
yeah.
And so we'll see.
Someone's putting Tyrant Gauntlets up for 78 silver bid. But does that make you so
you
mad?
Know, I hate the bids because I just don't log in enough.
Yeah, enough to get undercut off.
On Arthas, somebody posted a glorious breastplate for 2 gold.
Bid only.
On Arthas, and I was bidding on it, and I watched it, and then I was flying home from Raleigh, North Carolina, and before I got on the plane, it was set to medium.
Mm-hmm.
I hate not knowing what the exact time was, mm-hmm. and I thought, yeah, I should be okay once I land. Uh-huh. And it was at 600 gold,
uh-huh.
and I landed, and the auction ended at like 630 gold, and the breastplate sold for 630 gold because I was on a plane. I was like, oh, I could have sold that for 10,000.
Oh, bummer,
anyway,
dude.
So that's what's going on with PC Gamer. So cool. So we'll see. There's something promising there.
Mm-hmm.
PC Gamer has a really wide reader base, mm-hmm. certainly going outside the United States. So what would be nice is if it comes out, it generates a lot of attention, and then that attention kind of circles its way back into the community,
mm-hmm.
and the community itself gets a bit of a surge of interest, especially on this side of the, you know, the mini game of WoW. But we'll see. It could go good, it could go bad, it could not happen. I'm not really sure where it's going to go.
Well, we appreciate, at least me, I
as usual with Keel Hall, we will see.
No, I've ever since the first time that we ever met up in our comment section of Power Word Called, I knew that you were going to be a great person to know, because you seemed to have, like, just your first five paragraph comment that, or six paragraph comment that was too long for the comment section. So, well, I wanted to thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. That's going to wrap it up. Why don't we go ahead and get your details about how people can find you, get a hold of you, find out what you're up to on a day-to-day basis as far as Transmog goes?
Sure. So you can find me on Twitter. Usually check it a couple times a day at DE Azeroth. If you want to track the transmogrification sales that I have rolling in the background while I'm working on my blog, you can check out themogfather.tumblr.com. That's just a streaming feed from my remote auction house of everything that I'm selling at the prices by which I'm able to sell it on a variety of different realms. And then my blog, which is not focused on gold making, but is more about the design aesthetics of weapons and gear in the game. That's at deazeroth.com. It's Disenchanting Azeroth.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks again, Keel Hall. And that's going to do it for me. I'm Jim Youngkin from Power Word Gold. You can find us at powerwordgold.net. We're on Twitter at powerwordgold and facebook.com/powerwordgold. And we recently started doing some live streams, and you can find that at twitch.tv/JimYunkin. So go there and subscribe. The live streams are really awesome. We have people chatting. I'm basically usually doing something in the game, and there's a lot of good back and forth that happens. And usually the streams are about 2 hours to 3 hours long. We did over 20 hours of streaming this last weekend. It was pretty crazy. We had gold makers looking for raid Blackwing Lair runs. We have Pictionary. We had World of Warcraft quote trivia games. It's just all kinds of really fun stuff going on there. And again, that's at twitch.tv/JimYunkin. And we have all the other kind of social media stuff that you can find at powerwordgold.net. So I think that's going to wrap it up. So thanks everybody for listening to episode 29, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Music for this episode of the Power Gold Podcast includes Hydra in the Dream, Tears and Blood, and Final Day by the band Memories Lab from the album Stronger Than Hate. For more information on Memories Lab, head to www.jamendo.com/en/artist/memories_lab_2. All songs were used under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 2.5 generic license. For more information about Creative Commons licensing, head to creativecommons.org.
Another final day, give me the time to thank the recoil.